This is the season for reflection and thankfulness. I'm still making my way through the book, The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks. In the last episode of All Things Apostolic, I focused on ideas in chapter 1. This week, I'm jumping ahead to the end of the book and highlighting a few key principles. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. We just had Thanksgiving, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday. My holiday with my family was very blessed, but it was also tempered by recent circumstances. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter and I had to euthanize our dog, which has been part of our family for the past almost 11 years. It has been stressful this past year as we've tried to navigate our dog's declining health. And then we finally needed to make the decision that the time had come to put him down. For those who don't have pets or aren't close to your pets, it may seem like no big deal. But for those whose pets are like family, it's a difficult loss, and it's challenging and sad to get used to a new normal in your daily life. Then, on an even more serious note, my 86, almost 87-year-old mother had a recent health scare. The week of Thanksgiving, she ended up in the ER 3 times. Once was a couple of days before Thanksgiving, and the second time was on Thanksgiving morning. She was released in time to come home and join us for dinner, but she wasn't her usual self. Although Thanksgiving was still enjoyable with all of the family, everyone had an underlying concern for my mom. I think we were all wondering if this might be our last Thanksgiving with her. And then on the night after Thanksgiving, I got another call that she was again taken to the ER. But this time, for the first time ever, she said that she was feeling like maybe God was calling her home. She's never said that before. My daughter and I quickly got ready and began the long trek to the hospital about an hour away. And the trip was made longer by annoying stop-and-go traffic on the highway that nearly doubled the time to get there. While sitting in traffic, we of course prayed for God's healing power to touch my mom. My mom is a devout Catholic, and we have witnessed to her over the years in various ways. But my daughter and I had just recently been talking about being more intentional with a Bible study. So as we drove to the hospital, we prayed that God would give us an opportunity to have more time with my mom and to enact our plan. And as I made that long drive, I also took time to give thanks. In the last episode, we talked about feeling gratitude. We should think about our blessings and thank God for the blessings, but also give thanks to Him, not only for what He does, but for who He is. As I drove to the hospital, I thanked God for my mother because she is an incredible woman. I thanked God for saving her life many times before and for letting her live a full life. And I remembered to give thanks to God for His faithfulness and goodness, trusting that He's on the throne and that this situation was in His hands. For some people, it may seem counterintuitive to give thanks when you're struggling or going through a battle or facing a tragic situation. But actually, it's a perfect time to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is a familiar scripture. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Some people misinterpret this verse and think that Paul was saying that we should give thanks for everything. But Paul was not saying that we have to give thanks for everything, because there are some things like sin, demonic activity, spiritual oppression that God hates, and so should we. If someone commits a sin and reaps terrible consequences, I don't think God expects us to give thanks for the sin or the results. Paul wasn't saying that we should give thanks for everything, because that doesn't make sense. Rather, we give thanks in everything. It's a simple key life principle. We thank God and praise Him for being God and for His goodness that can bring light out of darkness. Even in the worst situations, God is still on the throne and He can work all things for good. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So all things, health or sickness, wealth or poverty, gain or pain, all things work together for good to them that love God. When we're going through a difficult situation, if we keep our eyes on Him and love Him, regardless of what we're going through, then He will use even the bad things that occur for good. Not everything that happens to us is good, but we can love God and trust God even in the midst of a trial, knowing that He can turn it for good, that He will use it for good. I may have shared this before, but I love the last verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why goodness and mercy? Because when bad things happen, God's goodness can take hold of the situation and turn it for good. And when we do wrong or cause bad things to happen, God's mercy is available to us. So every day we have access to God's goodness and His mercy. And that's all we need for any situation that arises. And that is plenty of reason to give thanks in any situation. Another principle is that groaning and gratitude can coexist. We don't have to choose between tears and thanks. It's okay to lament the circumstances and to cry out to God and to ask for His intervention. But we can also find hope by offering thanksgiving. In hard times, we can lament the difficulties while also giving thanks for His presence with us. Why was David a man after God's own heart? For several reasons. But one is that he trusted God and gave thanks to God. It's demonstrated throughout the Psalms that he wrote. When things got tough, it would have been easy to complain and quit. But David demonstrated strong faith that presses on through difficulties. He didn't rely on his own strength or willpower, but he turned to God. David showed us how to shift our eyes from circumstances to God. Charles Spurgeon, who suffered from ill health, criticism and slander, depression and tragedy, wrote the following: remember the mercies of God. Do not bury them in the grave of ingratitude. Let them glisten in the light of gratitude. Because we put our hope and trust in God, we can be people in grieving and pain and still give praise. Groaning and gratitude can coexist. We won't always feel thankful, and we won't always embrace with open arms everything God allows into our path. But biblical gratitude is gritty gratitude. Even in trials, we give thanks, not for the frustrations or brokenness, but because we trust God in them. He is still with us and working all things for our good and His glory. When we rest in God and believe His promises, even the most difficult scenarios can lead to thanksgiving. Gratitude is more about God than His gifts. Gratitude is an important motivation for thankfulness, and we should look around us and see blessings and cultivate an attitude of gratitude to God. We want to stir up gratitude within us, but here's another principle. We don't actually have to feel the emotion of gratitude in order to give thanks to God. There are times when we may not feel gratitude in the moment, but we should still give thanks even though we don't feel like it. Although gratitude is important, giving thanks doesn't require feelings. It requires faith. No matter what I'm going through, faith tells me that God cares, He's in control, and He's working all things for my good. And by giving thanks to God, even in the difficult circumstances, faith becomes a source of power for me. And in fact, sometimes the action of giving thanks helps us to quicken the emotion of feeling gratitude. We can see the same principle at work with love. I may not feel very loving towards someone at a particular moment, but if I act in a loving way and do something loving, it can actually quicken the emotion of love within me toward that person. Similarly, we can give an offering of thanks to God even if we aren't feeling gratitude at that moment. We can thank Him because we put our hope in Him, and that hope can outweigh anything negative we're experiencing in the moment. Giving thanks even when we don't feel like it is an act of faith, and it can actually then spur an attitude or feeling of gratitude. We rest in His goodness, love, and sovereignty, and we say thanks for what He's doing in all things. Thanksgiving is a trusting response that proclaims God is good, and so are all His ways. Even in hard things, God is faithful. He's with us and at work for us. You may be wondering what happened with my mom. Well, we still don't know the underlying cause of the original problem that she was experiencing, but the doctors believe that the antibiotics that they gave her threw her system off. So by removing the antibiotics and doing some other things, my mom regained her strength and she is now back home recovering. The actions taken by the doctors and nurses helped my mom, but I also know that God helped to heal her because it wasn't her time yet. And I thank God for that. My prayers were answered. But this leads me to my final point. I didn't know if my mom's life was going to end or if she was going to be given more days. In this situation, my prayers were answered. But there have been many times in my life, many times when my prayers seemingly went unanswered, or they were answered in a way I didn't want, or the outcome was the opposite of what I had prayed for. And some of these were life and death situations. I've learned over the years that even when the outcome of a situation doesn't align with what I want, I thank God anyway. I thank Him in any situation, regardless of the outcome. That's because my trust isn't in the outcome. It's in God. If I only have faith when God answers my prayers the way I want, then my faith is in the outcome and not in God. And then when I don't get the outcome I want, my faith will be shaken. So I choose to trust God regardless of the outcome, because ultimately, my relationship with God matters more than the good and bad situations I go through in this life. I'm reminded of the character Lucy in the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis. She's one of my favorite characters. When it was time for her and her brother Edmund to say goodbye for the last time to Narnia and Aslan, the lion who was a type of Christ, some may have thought that Lucy was distraught because she would never see Narnia again. But it was really Aslan whom she didn't want to leave. Lucy cried out, "It isn't Narnia, you know, it's you. We shan't meet you there. And how can we live never meeting you?" Because of the deep relationship between Lucy and Aslan, she trusted him implicitly through all of the hardships and ordeals that she experienced. Aslan would tell her, "Courage, dear heart." She would throw her arms around him and bury her face in his warm, thick mane. And that's a beautiful image of the love and trust that God wants us to have for Him. It's having a relationship in which we can lean on Him and trust that He cares, He's listening, and He's helping us. We serve a good God. When we face difficulties, He stands by our side and supports us, saying, "Courage, dear heart." If you are going through a struggle, remember this and give thanks. The bedrock of our rejoicing isn't the goodness of our day, but the goodness of our God. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.